Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Hour number two, WEEI Afternoons, on the eve of opening day. We just talked to manager Alex Cora. If you missed that interview, you can download the Odyssey app and subscribe to WEEI Afternoons. We'll probably revisit some of his answers, some of his cuts, because I thought he had some interesting comments about Devers and DH and Crochet and the closer situation. So stay tuned to the 5 o'clock hour. We'll probably swing back around on some of that. But right now, it's 3 o'clock. That means two things. Teddy Johnson's here.
Hey, boys, how are we doing?
Ooh, with a flowery happy shirt on. Absolutely.
Happy to see you.
I feel
you
safe today. I can push your buttons and
you're
won't kill
me.
And it's also time for the 3-point stance.
319!
180!
319!
318!
Yeah, there you go!
It's the 3-point stance.
I'm going to count to three.
Tatum puts up a three. Bam!
Easy as 1, 2, 3.
Pasternak, a hat trick and a 4-3 Boston lead.
Three.
And it is gone. A 3-run homer and the game is tied.
On WEEI Afternoons.
One of these days, I'm just going to edit in a better cut of the count for Andy Hart, and he's going to be so happy to hear it.
I look forward to the future rendition of that.
Yeah, don't hold your breath anytime soon. In the meantime, it's time for the 3-point stance here on WEEI Afternoons. Three hosts giving their takes on three of the biggest stories floating around the world of sports and sometimes beyond. Our order, which is nice to read out today, is Andy Hart, and then Nick Fitzy Stevens, and then Ted Johnson. Each host has 60 seconds or thereabouts to give their opening take on whatever they are hot on today, and then after each host presents, we open up the table for discussion. Andy, little ball of hate hearts, you will lead us off as always. Are you ready to roll today?
I am. Let's do it.
Let's do it. Your 60 seconds begins right now.
So for the second day in a row, 3-point stance, little ball of hate will be defending a local athlete. Yesterday it was Jaylen Brown. He is a superstar. Today it's a more little people kind of guy, David Hamilton. I feel like he's just getting overlooked. Every time I turn on a game, he's making a play. And I admit, I didn't love him at times last year. I think he made 7 errors at shortstop, and I was like, this guy, I'm not sure. Played a little more second base, but you needed him last year. He played 98 games for the Boston Red Sox last year. This year, he shows up at spring training in the best shape of his life, and all he has to hear about is second base Bregman, second base Meyer, second base Campbell, second base Grissom. What about David effing Hamilton? Because even these last couple nights in Mexico, I watched last night, he's batting behind Meyer. Meyer has a hit, and it's like, oh, Meyer. Meanwhile, he's putting one in the seats, and he's jogging around the bases, and it's like, oh, yeah, David Hamilton hit a home run, too. David Hamilton had a nice spring. David Hamilton can help this baseball team. And Red Sox fans, you need to show a little bit more respect and appreciation for David Hamilton because he is going to help you this season. If you're going to go where you think you need to go, players like him will help you win games and succeed and make the playoffs. Put some respect on the name of David Hamilton, fans. Crying out loud.
I feel so bad for him that he is on a Major League Baseball team.
All you people are overlooking him. We're giving jobs to Christian
Campbell. Already got a job, for God's sakes.
Love him. Buy his jersey.
He's going to end up playing somewhere a decent amount.
Yes.
Between injuries, depending on how they feel with Meyer. We already have Meyer penciled in somewhere. Hamilton's going to play.
Yeah.
But
he's got, yeah, day of rest here and there. You know, there's going to be some getaway days, doubleheaders. Like, he's got every kid's dream. He's on a Major League Baseball team. It's great. I mean, I respect him for that. He's our new Brock Holt. Does that make you feel better?
Well, Brock Holt made it to the All-Star game. That'll make it feel better when David Hamilton goes to an All-Star game. Not happening, David, so don't get your hopes up.
All right, so David Hamilton is on the table from Andy Hart. Next up is Nick Fitzy Stevens. Fitzy, are you ready?
I most certainly am.
All right, well, your 60 seconds begins right now.
All right, well, folks, we have been spending months, if not years, addressing two particular issues of dire need on your New England Patriots. That of a starting left tackle, which really has not been addressed to date, and that of a wide receiver number one. And last night, the New England Patriots went rogue, went out of pocket, and went ham and decided to sign a former enemy of Patriots Nation, Stephon Diggs, to a three-year, $69 million deal, making him the number one wide receiver on the team. Now, obviously, tackle is going to be, as Julian Edelman said yesterday on the socials, a priority and a need, and that's where we all hope that they're going to address now with their needs and the value they have coming up in the NFL draft. I am here to tell you, it is my fundamental and firm belief your New England Patriots will not be targeting a wide receiver with the first overall pick, fourth, seventh, sixth, eighth, depending on where they trade back. Nor do I think they're going to spend a lot of early capital on wide receiver. Now that you have a wide receiver that's an alpha, that's a true number one, that's going to command the ball, command targets, command attention, and command the presence and best behavior of the quarterback, not to mention teach the other kids how to play, I bet you these Patriots try to get value out of the guys already in the room before they go spending precious draft capital on receivers when they need linemen.
I got a thought on that when we come back.
Okay,
this guy, he's always got thoughts.
Teddy, my job basically in three-point stance, I chum the water.
It's just get me thinking. You got it. You got me thinking, brother.
Ted has joined the queue to answer Fitzy's retort at the three-point stance here on WEEI Afternoons. All right, Ted, it's great to have you back in studio. You are up next. Are you ready to roll?
I'm ready to go, bud.
All right, your 60 seconds begins right now.
You know, guys, I forget which one of you guys sent the link, but someone sent me, I think it was you, Fitzy, that sent me the link to my man, Nick Wright on FS1, talking about maybe potentially he's hearing things that KD to the Boston Celtics, thinking that maybe the Boston Celtics need to unload on Jaylen Brown and that KD would be interested in coming to the Boston Celtics. I just couldn't believe Nick Wright saying that because I have always wanted these teams in this town to be a destination. Listen to what Nick Wright had to say about potentially Jaylen Brown leaving and KD coming in.
Two totally unrelated people, both of whom have reputations for knowing things that other people don't know, have said to me, watch out for Durant in Boston. It doesn't make, I don't know even the pieces that it would work, and it feels a lot like what Durant got killed for with Golden State before, so it doesn't make sense.
Be awesome.
But I've heard
that
twice now.
Assumption is that they don't win the championship.
I guess.
Because if they were winning it, if they won it again,
they wouldn't change anything.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it when I heard that. If you guys remember, we'll play it a little bit later, the Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant on the podium there right before the playoffs against the Nets 3 years ago. And they did not have kind words to say about Boston. It feels like the tide is turning, especially with the Boston Celtics and how they are viewed around the NBA. I love that. I mean, the biggest free agent acquisition the Celtics have ever had in history is, can you guess who? Al Horford. God bless him. I love Al Horford. My guy, that is my one of my favorite players, but that's the biggest free agent signing they've ever had. The tide might be turning on perception when it comes to the Boston Celtics. And I love that.
There you go. Durant loves joining a bandwagon. Might as well join one of the most powerful ones in the league.
Chase a ring, you coward.
And he can chase one here. Okay.
I would love to see you say that to his face.
Well, it would be his belly button, but.
talk to my face, not my ribs.
Before we open up the discussion, Stanley Bruno, we have a special surprise here on the three-point stance. What do you got, Stiz?
Yeah, that's right, Andy. I hope you keep that same energy and say it to his face. We will see. We have a special guest that wants to join the three-point stance. Uh-oh. Mr. 617 is on the line. Mr. 617.
Hello, Andy.
Hello.
JB can do no wrong, right, Hart?
No, he can do no right in your eyes. he can do no
time,
right because he hung a banner
time.
For you ungrateful people.
Here we go. Can I talk?
Maybe.
9 points. 9 points in 26 minutes of play the other night. Not a peep from No Heart over there. You know what? On a good day, Andrew, you're a half-wit. You remind me of Drool. You are deficient in all that lens character. You have the personality of wallpaper. You are dank and filthy. You are asinine and benighted because your takes on JB are so slanted. I don't know how you stand straight. Spammers look down on you. Phone sex operators hang up on you, Andy. And telemarketers refuse to be seen in public with you. You are the source of all unpleasantness and sadness when your little buddy JB has a bad game, which happens a lot, but we wouldn't know it listening to you. You spread misery, sorrow, wherever you go. May you choke on your own foolish opinions, Andy. You are a pusillanimous human being. Don't bother opening the door when you leave the studio. You should be able to find your way out underneath. Ashley, I hope you choke on your...
Whoa. 617, it's a family show, number one. And number two, the number one rule of roasting, the number one rule is... if you roast somebody and you don't really like them, then it comes across as mean-spirited and not genuine. And so that guy made it sound like he appreciated you as part of the show or whatever role you play on the afternoon show. But Mr. 617, you pushed it at the end. Therefore, it came across as mean. We appreciate the first two-thirds of that. At the end, though, you pushed the limit.
I appreciated the energy and the
came strong with those insults.
Also enjoyed
one
that.
One right after the other.
Did you notice the natural...
off the top of his dome.
The way the pace picked up when he heard the clock. Yeah. Everybody does it. We all do it. When we hear that clock, we start, I got to finish up.
He's got to get those insults in.
He was like, I got a little material up. I got to move it.
It was good material.
They all think it's so easy before they're on the radio
doing
it.
That's right, Mr. 617, up in your tower of hate. But appreciate you calling.
617, I love it.
All right, Andy, as is appropriate, you get a chance to respond to that.
So I just think for that purpose, it's very simple. He likes to choose the games that fit his point. And the other night was a bad game. And JB's had bad games this year. The other night, coming off injury, he wasn't quite right. He's not quite ready. I choose to look at the totality of his accomplishments, and he's either been 1A, 1B, along with Jason Tatum every step of the way, including the Eastern Conference Finals. I believe they gave him a trophy,
they
Ted.
Did. They did.
The NBA Finals, I believe they gave him another trophy.
They did. Yeah.
And he's got a ring, and his teammates said, what they going to say now about us? Guess what? You can love JB, you can hate JB, but you better respect what he's brought to the city of Boston and the basketball court at the TD Garden, because he's a big part of the success you've had, Mr. 617.
Can you just encapsulate what you think of him as an NBA player? Is he like top 10, top 5? Like, what is he?
Oh, no. I think he's a borderline all-NBA player. Borderline they go 15 all-NBA. Deep for all-NBA, and then you got those weird things where you got to play 65 games, and some guys are hurt year to year. He's an all-star caliber player. He proved that yet again. But more importantly, what I love about him, I think he's a dog. I think if you need him to defend the whole floor, he'll do it. If you need him to try to score, he'll do it. If you need him to bring the ball up, he'll do it. Just don't go left off your left knee, because occasionally he'll end up in the front of the crowd. But he's what you need him to be.
Can I ask one more quick question, Fitz?
Sure.
Sorry. Quick. Sure. Let's make it quick. Can they win the NBA championship without Jaylen Brown?
No.
Okay.
Because he's the dog they need. He is the personality, the fight. We learned a lot about him in a lot of those mic'd ups last year, where I think he kind of pushes Tatum toward leadership. I think he pushes the rest of the team towards fight. I don't think Al Horford has the fight he has. I don't think Drew Holiday. I'm not saying they don't bring anything to the table, but there is a dark bearded badass on this team that plays a key role when they're going to win, and he needs to be out there.
I just want to share something from two things from the text line, 617-779-7937. Mr. 617 has texted in and said, I was trying to be funny. No mean spirit, so that's good to see. Yeah, we're happy to have you, Mr. 617.
I didn't sense any meanness.
No.
No, it was all.
And I love
all
interaction. Good. But it bring the energy.
Good natured rhythm.
Yes, and we don't want it to go so far that it makes our audience uncomfortable. Making the audience uncomfortable is our job. Thank you.
That's right.
And number two.
Exhibition baseball.
And number two, you stole that from me.
I know, that was the point.
Okay.
Flagstip.
Uncut flagstip. Hey, put it in your flagstip ball. 805 texter. This one's too good to leave on the table. Maybe somebody could tweet this at Will Fleming for us. I wonder if Garrett will crochet a beautifully woven gem tomorrow on the mound.
Oh, boy.
Very nice.
He will.
Ah.
And then Aroldis Chapman will burn it down.
All right, I'm moving us along after that.
Please do. It's your job here.
And I want to give Ted Johnson a chance to talk about his Durant point for a moment, because I know there was a second element that you wanted to bring to the table here.
Thank you, Dan. Yeah, so if you guys remember a few years ago when the Celtics played the Nets, the Brooklyn Nets in the playoffs in the first round, I think they swept the Nets. But if you remember before that series started, there was Kyrie and Kevin Durant were on the podium talking about the game and the upcoming games. And This is Kyrie Irving talking with Kevin Durant sitting next to him. And at the end of the cut, you got to listen, you will hear Kevin Durant chime in and kind of support what Kyrie Irving is saying. So take a listen to this sound.
Is it something you've experienced in Boston before?
I'm not the only one that could attest to this, but it's just, you know, it is what it is.
Did you hear that, what he had to say there?
The whole world knows.
The whole world knows. So just the whole world knows that basically they're implying that Boston isn't a fun place to play, you know, for some players. And so
yep.
I just find it fascinating. That was 3 years ago. And I just felt at the time when they said that, I was like, that kind of crushed me a little bit, I'm not going to lie, because I want this to be a destination town with all the sports teams here. And it just felt like after Kyrie left and he had the Anthony Davis stuff that came up a few years ago, and then Kevin Durant kind of signing off on what Kyrie said, that, man, it just didn't feel like there's the reputation in the NBA was that good. I feel like that's changing, bro. I feel like that is changing. I feel like the Celtics now are looked at as one of the premier kind of spots and places to play, and I love that. So good for the Celtics to kind of rehab their image. They've done it in a fantastic way, and it just feels like guys want to play here now.
And stay away from my Celtics, Durant. I want no part of him. That would be, if you could say you can have any player and list them from top to bottom, I want no part of Kevin Durant. I think he's what Dan said, like chasing another championship, wants to join the cool kids. Mm-hmm.
You want to talk about sensitive, by the way.
Oversensitive. And like Tatum and Brown have made Boston cool. They are the cool kids. Porzingis, like, they have something really cool going. Why do you want to ruin it by bringing that guy in? Why would you ever have any interest?
Might have to.
If anything, this particular year, I feel like the vibes on the Celtics are better. They're even higher. White, Pritchard, now Shireman, Cornett, Hauser, like, everybody likes this team. Yeah. In fact, if they're all healthy, I dare say, I feel more confident in these Celtics, Andy, winning a championship this year, going through a tougher gauntlet than last year when they faced inferior talent and made their way to Banner 18.
And that's why we don't have to worry about Durant, because they're going to win Banner number 19. And when they win, they're certainly not going to bring Kevin Durant aboard or blow it up.
New ownership coming, you know, how they want to spend.
Nope. Bill Chisholm is a man of the city. He's a super fan. We'll not take that carpetbagger.
A lot of people predicting that your guy, JB, has to go.
If
they're going to survive financially.
These ears on this big old head hear that all the time, just like he does. And he doesn't care for it,
we'll
nor
see
do
if
I.
Bill Chisholm is actually able to make the purchase, because it's starting to look a little
cool. Oh, we'll get into that later, Fitzy. 617-779-7937. That was the 3-point stance. Up next on WEEI Afternoons, it's Wednesday. So it's not Thursday. We don't talk to Tom Curran. Tomorrow is opening day. So Tom E. Curran, NBC Sports Boston, will join us to talk Stephon Diggs, the receiver we needed and wanted. We'll hear about it next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball, trend for us.
You're listening to WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
Welcome back to WEEI Afternoons. It is Wednesday, but that doesn't matter. We're going to talk to Tom E. Curran anyway, because tomorrow is opening day. Tom Curran, NBC Sports Boston, is brought to WEEI Afternoons by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's leader in residential and commercial drain cleaning and pipelining at drainsbyjames.com. At Drains by James, they give a poop about your pipes. Tom E. Curran. Whoa, what the heck's going on back there? You playing Jenga?
I was just letting Bo, me?
Yeah.
Bo cannot stand when I go into
Radio.
The bedroom and close the door, so I had to open the door to let him in, and the door in this new house is a little bit short, so there's like a weather stripping on it, and the weather stripping scraped across the rug.
I regret that question already. Anyway, let's get to...
You could have skipped on down.
Stephon Diggs. I want you to give me a realistic best or worst case scenario for the way this plays out, because there's been mixed opinions and reviews. They got a number one receiver, but he's expensive, he's hurt, he's old, he blah, 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 blah. So best and worst case scenarios in your mind for this?
The one topper I would say to Stephon Diggs would be Stephon Diggs, : any port in a storm. And I totally believe that. So what's the best case scenario? For 2025, I would say 72 catches, 1,100 yards, 11 touchdowns. That's your best case scenario. Worst case, not ready until Columbus Day, 47 catches, not very, you know, not happy with the situation. The offense stagnates, and the team's looking for a trap door, and that's worst case. I would imagine that that is 10% likelihood of the best, 10% of the worst, and then I think that, do you think 60 catches is a reasonable amount to get to expect from a guy who annually puts up 1,000 and was on pace for 94 and 1,100 last year?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, why not?
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, you mean he's the, you know, I don't know how much, you know, heat's going to be taken off of him with the other wide receivers. He's going to be the focal point, but still, nonetheless, Tom, I agree with you. I think that's a realistic number. Yeah, I'm trying to look, kind of connect the dots here with the with the signing with Stephon Diggs, I've always kind of maintained this kind of attitude that I think it's a lot of people, you know, reported that maybe Drake May doesn't want to, or they're worried about Drake May dealing with diva wide receivers, and I've kind of tried to frame it as I think it's more about Josh McDaniels not wanting to deal with diva wide receivers. And it's interesting to find out that Josh McDaniels' brother, Ben McDaniels, was a wide receivers coach for the Texans last year. Mm-hmm. So, look, obviously those two have talked and have traded notes, and so it feels as if Josh McDaniels is on board with this. Do you think – I mean, how important do you think it was that Josh McDaniels was okay and comfortable with the signing of Stephon Diggs, not just worrying about the development of a young quarterback?
It's a great question, and I think that Josh, in the position that he's in, and just in conversations that I had with him prior, where he's an employee and he gets that. He is here to serve the same way Elliot Wolf is here to serve the vision of Mike Vrabel. So I'm sure there's a respectful conversation that goes on, but if you're going to have an employee under you as a manager who is talented, yes, you're going to ask that manager, you know, here's what we're going to do. You're going to be okay with that. But in the end, you as the CEO, Vrabel, he's going to do what's best for the team. So I can't imagine that in his first year with Mike, Josh would say, I can't do it. Maybe the team would have preferred, and certainly did prefer, in the early stages of free agency, to get as many guys who fit their on-field, off-field, sideline etiquette, you know, all the boxes checked in all of those departments. But Diggs isn't that, but he's everything you'd want on the field, on the sideline, maybe not, certainly in the weight room and in the training room. And again, it's more of a, hey, this guy can be a pain in the ass, as opposed to, hey, this guy's going to be out until 4 a.m. and you never know what you're going to read in the paper the next day. He's not that. And that's a big difference, Teddy, isn't it? From
big time.
From when we were growing up. Oh, yeah. When you talked about guys who were problems, it was like anything could happen. Diggs is just a pain sometimes. And one would think that at 32, Fitzy, if you're there, Fitz?
I am indeed.
Okay.
Listening the whole time, my guy.
Is this thing on?
One would think, Fitzy, is that at 32, having worked with Josh Allen and kind of shot his way out of town, that maybe light dawns on Marblehead and he says, you know what? I'll go there and it'll be good. It'll be fun. He's a good player. You know, he could be part of something good. Who knows, though? It could be closer to the worst case. Who knows?
Yeah, it could go either way, honestly, Tommy. And I understand that as well. And obviously the Patriots were desperate enough and needy enough at wide receiver one and target one for Drake to take a chance on him. And the interesting thing was, it wasn't a one-year deal where he could come in for 18, 20, 25, whatever, prove it, and then go and get that final big deal. The Patriots gave him a pretty sizable deal, or at least a good guarantee, with $26 million, which tells me that they're not afraid of the knee, they're not afraid of his behavior, and they're not afraid of the value that he may have off the field. And that's my big thing. Are you with me in that part of the reason why he was brought in was the benefit of him going into that wide receiver room and telling the rest of these guys, like, all y'all are going to have to try to find a way to fight me and beat me for target number one, because Drake and Josh are going to look my way and you guys are going to have to basically be better than me. So good luck. I think that's going to be iron sharpening iron, Tom.
Iron sharpening talk.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, yes. Yes. I think that it helps having him there, but I don't think these guys, aside from Kendrick Bourne and to an extent to Mario Douglas and Keyshawn Booty, but I don't think that the Polk and Bakers need to even have any level of deference shown them. If I'm Stephon Diggs and I've done what I've done in the league and they all know who I am, and I'm sure that they all would feel that way, I'm looking at him and going, my God, this guy's done everything in this league. He's had the contracts. He's had the successes. I'm going to watch him and see how I can play like that. So what would you rather have in that group? And Ted, you can speak to this maybe, because I don't, you know, people say in the room. I don't know what all these meeting rooms look like, but when you have these tiny little cliques for each position, would you rather have five guys who are grab-assing around and think they're really good, or one guy who's a dink and really wants to be excellent? I mean, whether it's Jerry Rice or Larry Bird or Tom Brady, you need dinks.
You need dinks, Andy.
Oh, I did you have dinks in your,
no,
were you
I
the dink in the room?
Dinks,
who was the dink? Who was the dink in the linebacker room?
We've had some dinks.
But a good dink.
Mike Vrabel was the dink.
Willie McGinnis was kind of a dink, right?
It was, yeah, there's another way to say, yeah.
All right, we don't need to say that on here.
But yes, your point is well taken, Tom.
Tom Curran, WEEI Afternoons here. There's been a lot of speculation, but is it safe to say that this signing is another step towards that idea that they wanted to be game ready before they got to the draft so they could just let the draft come to them? It checks off another box on their to-do list.
Yeah, I think that's a really good observation. You know, they could have waited. They could have played this out. They could have said, okay, we'll see what we get on draft day. Maybe it's Travis Hunter. Maybe we do something to get Tet McMillan. But then you're running the risk of now the next guy up on the free agent list is Keenan Allen. And he really isn't Diggs even at his best. And I love Keenan Allen. So why not just do it if you can do it? And again, it's the story I wrote earlier this week, and I'm sure you discussed it a bit, was the notion the Patriots are cheap. And really the genesis of that was they have to spend their money. Their roster is so bad. Players don't want to come here, and they've drafted so poorly that they have so much money to spend that they're, you know, keeping Milton Williams on the line. They offer him more money than the Panthers. They're writing, as Jason Light from Tampa said, blank checks to Chris Godwin. They're re-signing Christian Barmore, Kyle Duggar, Mike Nwenu, Ramondre Stevenson to absurd contracts last year. They're giving Robert Spillane $16 million and Carlton Davis $20 million a year. They are quite plainly in a position where they have to be spendthrifts. So to me, you look at it, Diggs, you're like, well, if we miss out on him, where are we going to spend this money we have to spend? It's budgeted. You got to spend it. So it does make a lot of sense to do it before the draft for a variety of reasons.
Yeah, that has to be a huge relief for them, Tom. But I'm curious, you know, I'm about what the Giants are going to do at three, and you have Russell Wilson going to the Giants. You have Jameis Winston going to the Giants. But I don't know if that, you know, all of a sudden means that they're not going to take a quarterback at number three. And I'm hoping like heck that they will consider that so that, you know, a great player can fall to the Patriots at four, either being Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter. Just what do you make of the Giants situation? Do you think the contracts they gave to Russell Wilson, you know, means that they're out of the quarterback market, or is it, does that not even kind of come into your mind what they're doing?
I think they could still go quarterback, but everybody around here should be a massive Shedeur Sanders fan and hoping that he has an incredible, you know, pre-draft run up to the draft, so that whether it's Cleveland or the Giants, one of those teams says, you know what, we can't really live without this guy. He's sitting right there. But, you know, in talking to Billy O'Brien on our podcast yesterday, it's so hard to pass on Abdul Carter. So if he's sitting there and you're Cleveland, or if he's sitting there and you're Giants, you're going to take him. And then if you're looking at, do I take Travis Hunter or Shedeur Sanders? Which player was the better player on that team? It was Travis Hunter. So it's really those. The Patriots' hopes of having either Carter or Hunter took a mighty blow yesterday with the Russell Wilson signing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they did. Tom, as on the wide receiver front, though, last question real quick. Are the Patriots done trying to sign veteran wide receivers? Anyone else out there you've heard anything about them maybe bringing in or taking a flyer on? Or are we good?
I'm sure that they would continue to look at the market. They might start to look at the trade market as well. I mean, they have guys who just, you know, in that room, what would you look at as your top three wideouts? It would be Booty, Diggs, DeMario Douglas, and Kendrick Bourne kind of in there, I guess. So that's still not anything that's going to terrify anyone. So I think that they would still stay in the market. Hopefully we'll have a better idea next week when I talk to you guys on Thursday after the owners' meeting.
Real quick, Tom, so you don't consider Matt Collins a top four receiver here?
I'm sorry. I should have kept him in there. Okay. Yeah, I mean, 57 catches for Josh a couple of years ago in Las Vegas. You're exactly right. Yeah. He's probably going to be. I mean, I like Booty. I think he's a good player. I think that he's what you're looking for in terms of competitiveness and hands and body control. A little immature. But, you know, I wouldn't move on from him necessarily either. But Matt Collins, I think, will definitely have a role. The dude's 6'4". I didn't realize he was that huge. And he's the only guy over 6'1 in the room.
All right, Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston, I appreciate you joining us. I hope you enjoyed the drive-by free zone of WEEI Afternoons more than those bullies on the midday.
He mutters. Keith always mutters something at the end.
Yes, he does.
And then changes the subject.
Yes, he does. You're on to him, though.
He's a mutterer.
There's a little tone to it, a little muttering in the background there.
My mutter.
We don't do that here on the afternoon. So we'll talk to you next Thursday, Tom.
Thanks, bud.
All right, buddy. I'll see you.
See you, Tom.
See you, Tom. Yeah. Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston. Up next, we'll react to a couple interesting things from Tom E. Curran as he assessed the wide receiver position and the signing of Stephon Diggs. And Ted made sure to remind him that Mac Hollins is still on the team. Don't forget about mighty Mac Hollins. He's going to be somebody. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons.
With Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
Stephon Diggs, any port in a storm. The best case scenario, 72 catches, 1,100 yards, 11 touchdowns. That's your best case scenario. Worst case, not ready until Columbus Day, 47 catches. Not happy with the situation, the offense stagnates, and the team's looking for a trapdoor.
Tommy Curran, just moments ago here on WEEI Afternoons, and just to defend Tommy, it's not like he covered all his bases. I asked him specifically for sort of realistic best and worst case scenarios. I would also say the worst case scenario, except for the him bitching part, isn't the worst case scenario if he's a mid-season addition who catches almost 50 passes?
It's $26 million
I've removed the money from it. Well, but if he's bitching, you might not get year two. That was the trap door that Tom was talking about. So I don't know. I think the upside was a little optimistic if we're being truthful here, because you know, 100 catches, 1,100 yards, 11 touchdowns, like that's a really good season.
That's if he starts, you know, the first game of the season.
But that's also...
Schefter said he would.
Wow. And Schefter's also making graphics that are like, this tandem is fire. When did he become a graphics guy on Twitter and not an information man? What's that all about, Fitzy?
He doesn't do that. They're just using... First of all, like, you know, if you're going to steal from the best.
Yeah. Skate his lane, tell him.
But every now and then he does kind of go off script.
Yes, he does.
And give opinions that are outside of just reporting.
Yeah, but why?
That's probably a longer conversation than today, but I
found that weird last night.
Greg Hardy, he kind of did that? He went off a script with Greg Hardy, I think.
And he definitely did a lot during COVID. But
carnage in the streets!
Yeah, we're going to have the draft while there's dead bodies outside the building. And it was like, where are we going here? Let's just talk football. No, but I don't know if you saw this. So he reported the signing, $26 million guaranteed, $69 million. Yeah. And then later he had one of those pictures that was... an edit, is that what it is, Fitzy, of Diggs?
Yes, that's what they call him, edits.
With Drake May and then, like, fire. And I'm like...
That's not his normal
MO. That's weird. No, that's what Fitzy does. That's what those aggregators do to what is that called? Farming? Farming?
Yes.
Like engagement farming.
Engagement farming.
What's your theory on it? You think, like, someone put him up to that?
Yeah. If you really want me to get into it here, yeah, absolutely.
Someone said, hey, make
I think
this-
he's very close with the Patriots and people in high places with the Patriots.
A little bag of cash action.
I agree.
And they were,
you know what, just promises for more intel.
Oh, yeah, no, it's the quid pro quo that goes back and forth.
And Dan, the information is currency
correct.
In this world.
Yeah,
so it
well
is.
Put.
You treat information like it's money, and so that's how deals are information is flows from one to the next.
And as is PR. PR is valuable. And if Robert Kraft signed a $26 million guarantee and he finally got a number one wide receiver, he wants the most bang for his buck. And as Fitzy said, Schefter's got, I don't know, millions of followers. That gets out there quickly, retweeted. It's everywhere. I do think there was a favor done. Mm-hmm. Some water was carried. So
are we getting hype, as the kids like to say?
Exactly. It was on 100 or something.
100%,
it was definitely
right?
not on 100.
What do you Hundo guys, P, Andy.
Hundo P.
You
got to keep. You got to keep it a buck. You're keeping it Hundo.
You guys see him Hundo playing outside or inside? That being Stephon Diggs.
Well, I would say outside.
Inside more.
So I think Pop Douglas they want inside, and I think because I think Pop is more of a traditional inside guy. You know what it's Drake May like to say. He can get open in a phone booth. That quickness. I don't think, especially coming off the injury, and there were rumblings last. 2 years ago in Buffalo, that Diggs had lost a little bit of that sort of slot, in and out cut quickness.
Would it surprise you to know that he played more snaps in the slot last year?
No, because I don't watch a lot of Texans.
Even on a team with Tank Dell?
Yeah.
No, that doesn't surprise me, Ted, because the routes, whatever you want to say, funny hearing you talk about routes, the ones that he wins are usually all within 15 yards, maybe even like 12 yards. Of where they line him up. And he doesn't have the downfield threat speed that he used to anymore, but that's okay.
But I also wonder where he fits in. And this is a much bigger conversation as we get into the offseason and passing camps, May, June, July, just in terms of who that we may view people. You love Mac Hollins.
I
like Pop Douglas. I don't know who they like. I mean, they should like Mac Hollins. They just signed him.
Yes.
But is Pop Douglas a Mike Vrabel, Josh McDaniels guy, or was he previous regime, and is maybe he fighting for his life and his roles and everything he can get? We'll talk about that a little bit more in WEEI Afternoons. But we've got a little scheduling change. Brian Scalabrine will not be joining us at 4, bumping back to 4:20. So put it on your watch, or if you miss it, go back on the Odyssey app and listen to it. But I'd prefer you listen to it live. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, we touched on it with Tom Curran. How does this affect the draft for the Patriots? Could a certain prospect whose arms are growing longer by the day now be very much in play at number 4? We'll talk about it next here on WEEI Afternoons.